How many people remember seeing a child with polio? The success of vaccination programs has created a situation that elegantly illustrates how we think about risk and danger. Because most people from Western nations have no experience with the disease, many do not perceive it to be a danger anymore. However, other areas of the world do have children infected by poliovirus, and Dr. Bruce Aylward, who is coordinator of the Global Polio Eradication Program of the World Health Organization for almost 10 years, helped develop the model of polio vaccination provision that is now being adapted because of its success by health agencies to deliver other forms of preventative medicine to remote and disadvantaged areas around the globe. And joining us this afternoon, I'm pleased to welcome back Dr. Bruce Aylward. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Barry.
How are you?
Very good, thank you.
I wanted to start off with the notion that something that is not seen by many people, as I mentioned, tends to become perceived as less of a risk. And not just for polio, but for example, when I talk to patients about diphtheria, and I say, do you know what the symptoms of diphtheria are and what happens to children who get diphtheria? And nobody can answer that because we've never seen it now because of the successful vaccination programs that are around. And my question to you on the basis of this is, what is polio and what is its pathophysiology?
Well, polio, Barry, is a disease, like you said in your introduction, that is largely forgotten in the West, certainly among the younger generation. Anyone over probably about 40 years of age has never seen acute polio. And we didn't grow up in the same era as our parents and our grandparents when people were literally terrified of this disease. This was a disease that struck when it wasn't expected. It left in its wake sometimes thousands of people living in iron lungs for the rest of their lives, certainly paralyzed and unable to fully use their limbs, partake in a completely fully active, in terms of physically active life. So this was and remains what most people forget for large parts of the world. It still remains a terrifying disease. And I think the last, when we spoke last, Barry, about a year ago, we were just coming off three of the most difficult years in the polio program, where one of the last few countries to try and eradicate the disease had actually stopped their program. There was the same kind of accusations made against the safety of the vaccine as we often hear in the West. That led to the cessation of immunization in one part of the world when we were down to just four countries. It reinfected 27 countries. It came roaring out of that country, reinfected another 27, left thousands of children across these 27 countries paralyzed again, and reminded large swaths of the world just how dangerous and devastating a disease this still is.
You would think that on the basis of the historical record of pre- and post-vaccination era that people would learn from that. And indeed, what was it like prior to the advent of the vaccine, and how did things respond once that vaccination program took hold?
I allude a little bit to the sort of pre-vaccination era for polio, but it was truly a terrifying period when, in the West in particular, because of improvements in sanitation and other developments, the disease was not what we call as much endemic in the population, where it would have a few cases or possibly hundreds or even low thousands of cases a year. It was a disease that swept through on a sometimes an annual basis, leaving thousands, as I mentioned, paralyzed in its wake. The data from those years is not very good for most of the world, but we estimate that there was probably, before the vaccine was developed, well over a million people being paralyzed every single year by this disease. And remember, hundreds of thousands of those, probably about 10% at least, would have died from the acute illness.
And today, what are we seeing in, as we mentioned, in North America and in Western countries? You don't see polio, I would imagine to say, at all. And you do see again in some of the developing countries. And I wanted to ask you, what have been some of the challenges in providing vaccination services to children in remote areas of developing nations?
Well, 20 years ago, Barry, the polio program set out to really try and rectify a social injustice to a certain degree, in that we'd had these excellent vaccines, both the Sabin vaccine and the Salk vaccine, available for about 25 years, but probably only 5% of the world's children were getting these vaccines. Oh, you asked, by the way, how those vaccines were met, and the public relief and enthusiasm for those vaccines was extraordinary. When Salk first announced the success of his vaccine trial, America, well, and the world was literally waiting, really just poised to adopt that vaccine if indeed it worked. And within weeks, there were these massive nationwide immunization campaigns going on across the U.S., Canada, and other countries to try and protect children. So from that period, we now, when the polio eradication program began, we probably had about 500,000 kids still being paralyzed in most of the developing world. And over the subsequent 20 years, through a combination of massive immunization campaigns where we try and immunize every single child under the age of 5, regardless of prior immunization status, and again a month later, and then repeat that strategy until we've interrupted what we call pulse the population with the vaccine and interrupted transmission of the virus. And Cuba proved very early on, actually in 1962, that this approach could interrupt transmission of the disease. The real challenge then was taking it to scale in areas affected by conflict, by geographically remote areas, by problems with or access problems due to traditional cultures and et cetera. The list of challenges we faced sort of goes on and on. But as a result of applying those strategies, by the beginning of this year, we were down again to just 4 countries that had never, ever stopped polio. And even there, it was only parts of those countries.
There was on the WHO website talking about the number of children that you vaccinated this past May. And I believe that number, if I'm correct, was 157 million children.
Yeah, indeed. Actually, that was one of the smaller campaigns at the peak of the operations of the polio program. Probably in the early 2000s, we were immunizing well over 600 million children a year multiple times in campaigns that were often synchronized across multiple countries.
The logistics of that just seem mind-boggling. 600 million with 2 doses, so 1.2 billion doses over a short time.
Well, indeed, in some of these countries, because of the population density and other reasons, the disease was particularly hard to root out. So we had to do more than 2 campaigns, often 3, 4, even 5. And so the number of doses we used of that vaccine were literally in the billions. But the trick to overcoming the logistical challenges, and this was, I think, the greatest legacy of that polio program, was that we actually put the intervention, the oral polio vaccine, in the hands of the parents and volunteers from the communities themselves. We estimate at the peak of our operation probably 20 million people, some of the most poorest, destitute people in the world, were a key part of this program, delivering the vaccine to their children. Because it's an oral vaccine, we could train them to do it in, sometimes as short as half an hour in illiterate communities, others. And what was really so encouraging, Barry, and I think the bigger lesson from polio, is that when you put the resources and the tools in the hands of these people, they will do extraordinary things to protect their children.
And that leads to my next question, in that there are reports that there's insufficient funding to support a final push to eradicate the disease, and they're estimating that it's about $500 million is required to really finally eradicate the disease. Why is there this particular shortfall, considering the degree of success that this program has accomplished?
Well, Barry, like all programs, it's had its good days and its setbacks. And as you well know, and we discussed on this program a couple of times, during the period 2003-2006, many countries became reinfected. There were lots of setbacks in the program as a result of the cessation of immunization or suspension for about 12 months in northern Nigeria. Then we suffered a couple of big outbreaks in Nigeria and also in India, and people began to think, well, can this really be done? And the quick answer to that is, of course, it can be done. The most densely populated and countries in the world, like Bangladesh, and the biggest, like China, have interrupted polio if they by reaching every single child with the vaccine. But for donor agencies and development agencies who often have a they've been part of the polio program for a long time, for 15, 20 years, and a lot of them became a bit unnerved, I think, by the last couple of years. And so we've been playing catch-up now with the very good news we've had over the last couple of years to try and remobilize the G8, especially, and Canada is a key part of that, to play their part. Usually the G8 funds about 50% of the program, and they're about only a quarter of the program's funding so far in the current two-year period. So that's a key part of what has to change if we're going to be able to get this vaccine to these kids. Sometimes it takes a while for the good news in these countries, and it is very good news right now in terms of progress, to translate into the donor agencies and others being able to open their wallets to keep it funded.
Well, it seems to me that this is a very straightforward A leads to B type of system, where vaccines are available, rates go down, people are saved. Stop the vaccines, people get sick, and it spreads again. So it's not the program that's at fault. It's the cessation of the vaccination programs by these countries that have led to the spread again. And if now the G8 is saying, well, we're not sure if we're going to continue or fund everything, the latter problem of spread is just going to happen all over again.
Well, exactly, Barry. And we ended up in a bit of a catch-22 situation early this year, where the countries were absolutely shocked. And in fact, I spoke to some senior political leaders who said, oh my God, we never thought we would have epidemics like this just by stopping vaccination for a couple of months. And they'd been burnt pretty badly by these epidemics in the last couple of years. So they had redoubled their efforts and brought a whole new seriousness to the job of getting the vaccine into their kids and getting this thing finished. And indeed, in northern Nigeria now, we're down to record low transmission rates, really at to the point where they could stop transmission, certainly within 12 to 24 months now. So at the same time, though, the donors are saying, well, we're not sure. So it's a bit of an odd situation, and we, as one of the UN agencies, are working very, very hard to make sure both sides know what each other are doing and to rebuild that confidence, like you say, in a straightforward strategy that can deliver a polio-free world forever. Remember, polio, unlike HIV, just that your listeners are aware, unlike HIV/AIDS or malaria or tuberculosis, these other awful problems we're dealing with, polio is one that can actually be eradicated. We can provide, so to speak, a permanent solution to this disease.
Dr. Ewald, I'd like to thank you very much. And again, I want to have you back next year to tell us that you finally accomplished the goal and eradicated this disease.
Brilliant. We look forward to it, Barry. Thank you very much.
All the best. Dr. Bruce Ewald is coordinator of the Global Polio Eradication Program of the World Health Organization. You're listening to Sunday House Call. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin.
You're listening to Dr. Barry Dworkin on Sunday House Call.
Karen, do you know what I learned at the hospital the other day?